You don't have to go very far from the sounds of humans, like a block off a busy street maybe, to hear the songs of nature. Start with the birds, because there are usually a few of those around. And that's just a tiny sample of what's out there. Nature made music long before people did, at least in our organized, instrument-centered way. The songs of nature are featured in a new exhibit at ScienceWorks Hands-On Museum in Ashland. The exhibit is called Wild Music. We got a brief mention in our first Friday Arts segment more than a week ago. Now we have time for a longer visit, starting with an overture. A little mingling of the sounds of humans and the sounds of nature right there to set up what's going on at Wild Music at ScienceWorks. Dan Ruby is the executive director of the museum and joins me in the studio. Dan, good to see you here. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
So for the people who don't know ScienceWorks, can you give a quick sketch about it?
Yeah, ScienceWorks is a hands-on museum that opened in 2002, and it serves a region of about 100 square mile radius from the museum. So Coast to Cascades, what we sometimes call Jefferson State, it's the same as your broadcast area. So very, very diverse populations within that region, and our job is to engage people of all ages into science.
And as the name implies, hands-on, this is not a place where you just go to stand there and look at things with your hands at your sides.
With science, hands-on is one of the best ways to learn.
So what kinds of things do you offer in the way of hands-on? Just on an average day, even without this Wild Music exhibit.
Yeah, so we've had 100 exhibits that are all hands-on, lots of physics stuff, lots of motion, lots of simple machines. There are classics like the pulley chair, where you can raise yourself up in chairs using pulleys. We have a machine that allows you to make really awesome drawings with a giant plate operated by volunteers. Lots and lots of hands-on stuff. 100 exhibits.
And so I imagine you get a lot of school groups through over the course of a year.
Yeah, we get about 10,000 visitors a year, students a year, on field trips.
That's a good number. So how much of your space can be changed for temporary exhibits like Wild Music?
Well, we have in total about 17,500 square feet of exhibit space, and this Wild Music takes up almost half of that. It's, strictly speaking, a 5,000 square foot exhibit, but it fills up the entirety of our exhibit hall. So it fills up a total of about 7,500 square feet.
And how did the exhibit come about?
So this we purchased outright from the Science Museum of Minnesota. We've been working with them over the past few months and years on this deal, and we're really excited. It's the largest exhibit that we've ever had, the largest single exhibition we've ever had at ScienceWorks. It's not the first exhibit that we've ever purchased, but it is the largest one that we've ever had.
And give us a sense of the thematic goals of it, and then how it works out in terms of actual construction.
So this has three areas. It has an underwater area where we can learn about sounds from the ocean using underwater mics and listening to sounds of whales and ocean life. It has a cityscape that has sounds that humans have made and sounds that we hear in cities. And then a forestscape that has sounds of birds and indigenous peoples. And then there are three bioacoustic labs where you can explore how sounds are made differently by humans and birds, for example, how vibrations and sound are linked, and then how we make sounds with our voice boxes. And then there's a power of sound and music theater. That's what we heard the clip from. And that's about visualization of sounds from around the world.
Visualization of sounds?
Mm-hmm.
Meaning what?
So there's a big screen where you can see what the sounds look like. There's a lot of oscilloscopes in this exhibit, so we can see the sounds. For being an exhibit all about sound and music, it really is very tactile and very visual.
Which reminds me of an experiment when I was in elementary school, similar to some of the sounds we heard in the beginning piece there, which was that we were listening to a movie with the projector bulb off.
Oh yeah.
And then we had to go back and figure out what the sounds were. And I was like, well, it sounds like a motor to me, and it turns out it was the sounds of bird wings flapping and things
like that.
Yeah, that's
great.
So it sounds like similar stuff that you're dealing
with.
Yeah,
there's some similar stuff. Yeah, exactly.
Let's get a second clip in here as we talk to Dan Ruby, Executive Director of ScienceWorks Hands-On Museum, about the display Wild Music.
На прошлой неделе она посетила типичную среднюю школу, где она присутствовала.
So that's a really interesting pastiche of things you get here, beginning with the human sounds first, that we get a sense of this is the sounds that these are the sounds that humans make, and then we move off. And there's a great blending there, I think, in terms of letting people remember that, oh, yeah, there are lots of other creatures in the world that make sounds.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I really like the idea that music can be more inclusive than really intentional things. So we can think about animal sounds and environmental sounds to think about sounds and music together.
Who made the display? You mentioned buying it from the museum in Minnesota, but I mean, who originally constructed this? Because I imagine there's a lot of work in it.
The Science Museum of Minnesota is who designed and built the exhibit.
Mm-hmm. And any idea how many hours or years or whatever the time is that put this?
Well, I think it was probably a few years of development and a multi-million dollar exhibit.
Mm-hmm. And so how were you able to buy it at ScienceWorks?
Well, we worked with them. It's something that we were interested in. We worked with them to acquire it last year. We're very excited about it because there are a lot of components that we want to keep up indefinitely at ScienceWorks. There is a jam room that has a bunch of instruments, mostly percussive instruments, where visitors can play together in a soundproof space. And that's something that's really fun. We've noticed people from 4 years old to much, much, much older enjoying that space at the same time. So I think we'll keep that one up for forever. And a lot of the exhibit hardware ties really well to another exhibit that we've had at ScienceWorks called Noise. Noise is more about the science of hearing and less about the science of making noises, but those things go together. So we want to incorporate a lot of the same exhibit components toward that in the future.
Dan Ruby, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the executive director of ScienceWorks Hands-On Museum in Ashland. The display that takes up about half the exhibit space is called Wild Music, and it just opened recently, and it runs until when?
September 2nd.
You can join the conversation here on the Jefferson Exchange about it or have some thoughts that you want to share with us about the sounds of nature and how musical they may be or not. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So this is a good, 7 months this will run, this whole display.
Wow. Exactly, in its form.
What kinds of things can people expect to see individually within there? I mean, you mentioned some of the general overall sorts of areas that people go to, but what kinds of experiences within those areas?
One of my favorite things is a tank with an underwater microphone with a bunch of different mechanical things. So water bubbles, water dripping in, propellers, ratchets underwater to hear what those things sound like underwater, which is very different than how we hear them on land. Water travels differently, sound travels differently in water. So I like that. There's Forescape with a parabolic microphone, and you can aim it at invisible speakers hidden behind that Forescape, but to pick out individual birds from this Forescape and hear them amplified, that's a really fun thing to do. There's too many components for me to even remember or list them all right now.
Is there have you had a chance to experience them all yourself at this
point?
Yeah,
I've gotten to play with pretty much everything in the exhibit now. We've been working on it. It took us a few weeks to set it up, so we've had it in the exhibit hall and have been dialing it in for a few weeks.
So there's I mean, obviously you're trying to create a wow factor among the people who come in to see and hear the display, but can you still be surprised yourself even though you're in charge of exhibits like
oh,
this?
Oh, I am. No, I'm super excited about this thing. I love it. I have a music background myself, so for me it's a really exciting direction. It feels like a new, fresh direction for the museum, but it really is what we do, which is hands-on science. And it's engaging more than just touch and engaging more than just vision. Really engaging sound is an awesome way to go. So it's multi-sensory, but again, it is very visual and very tactile for an audio exhibit. So I like the things where you can feel sound and where you can see sound at the same time.
Music background. So did you study music and then move into this line of work?
I've always done both at the same time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what kind of music?
Rock music.
Uh-huh.
I play electric piano. So I come from a musical family. Everybody in my family has always played music. It's just a thing that you do. And I think that humans are inherently artists. We're inherently scientists. And I like things that are the intersection of those two things. This is an exhibit that feels like it's at the intersection of those two things. It's really looking at the science of art, including sound and music. And it gives us a lot of connections to new things for the museum. So there are a lot of programmatic connections that we can do with this that we haven't been able to do with previous exhibits. So we can extend this to performances. We have a performance series on the first Saturday of each month at 1 p.m. in our exhibit hall. We are working with the Ashen World Music Festival and Rogue World Music to put on this performance series. And the first one we had on February 2nd was Ballet Folklorico. The next one, I believe, is Marval Road from SOU, the steel drum band. And so we're putting together the series of performances to tie into wild music, but also extend into broader cultural and social contexts.
All right. There is a performance space there then, and that's going to get more use over time, you think?
Well, we have our theater, and we can also set up performance spaces in the exhibit, among the exhibit.
Oh, okay. So the musicians in this case are going to be in among the stuff from wild music?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So you mentioned it's going to be up through September 2nd. Any wrinkles that are going to be put in over the course of the 7 months that this is up? Any changes that you anticipate having in the displays and
tweakings? We are going to add in more components from noise back into the mix. So one of our most popular ones from that exhibit is a scream chamber where you can shut the door and scream as loud as you can and see how loud you can scream. We're going to put that in among the exhibit. And we have a giant ear that shows what happens in your brain once sound hits your eardrum. We're going to bring that in. And then in July, we're going to have also in the museum an exhibit about the Apollo 50th anniversary of the first Apollo moon landing.
Oh, it is that, isn't it? That's right.
Coming up on that.
50 years. Wow. Okay. One small step for man and all
exactly.
That. when you mentioned both the scream booth and the soundproof room with the percussion, mm-hmm. there's a chance for people to make quite a bit of sound themselves.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a giant marimba as a centerpiece of the exhibit, and you can hear that all day long. But yes, there are definitely opportunities for people to make noises.
The percussion room in particular, you mentioned it's soundproof. Is that so people outside won't necessarily be aware of
what's
going on?
That's a little, for some sound control, exactly.
Yeah. It can get a little loud in there from the sounds.
It does get noisy.
Uh-huh. How have people taken to it so far? It's only been open for a little more than a week, I guess.
It's been a little over a week, and so far people have loved it. We've heard from people that it works for all ages. We've heard people report that their four-year-old grandchildren have loved it, and they've loved playing the instruments. We've heard people ask if they're allowed to come back without their children, which is interesting for me to hear. They are definitely allowed to come back without their children, and we really are trying to push the narrative that we are science for all ages and not the Ashen Children's Museum.
Okay, that's okay. So there's no sign saying you must be this short to enjoy the opposite of you must be tall to ride this ride. Oh, that's good to know. So anybody can go. It's not just having to be. You don't have to have a kid along, a designated kid, to make it okay for you to go into science works.
What we've heard so far is that it is appealing to people of all ages.
Mm-hmm. And so how long does it take to get through if you're like enjoying all the features of wild music as it's currently set up? How long does it take to get through it?
Probably longer than one visit. So I have spent hours and hours and hours in there over many, many days. And there is enough to do that you can't do it all in one visit if you do everything in the exhibit. I'm excited about that. Part of that is because it's sound, and sound is temporal. So if you're sitting and listening to something, it takes you a while to do that. It's unlike there are some visual art stuff have a hard time capturing because you can move from station to station to station to station. And this one, once you're there, you're stuck there for a little while. So it takes a while to do everything.
It's like you can't do the minute waltz in 30 seconds.
That's exactly
to
right.
To get the full sound of it, yeah. And how many people can enjoy this in a given day?
Oh, our effective capacity is about 600 people.
Mm-hmm.
At once in the exhibit.
Okay, so 600 people times how many days a week are you open?
We're open 6 days a week.
Okay, so that's 3,600 a week. okay, so and that times 7 months, we'll figure this out.
Yeah, we can fit a lot of people in there.
Tell us about the accessibility features of this, and if anybody in any sort of condition can make it into and see and handle all the display materials.
Yes, thank you for asking. We over the past few months have completed a new strategic plan, and one of the aims of our new strategic plan is that we want to be more diverse and equitable and accessible and inclusive of an institution. This is a good step in that direction because the exhibit is in English and Spanish and Braille. So we want to make sure, and all of the exhibit is accessible, wheelchair accessible. We want to make sure that our exhibits are as accessible as possible to as many people as possible.
And so let's talk about you, though. And you've only been attached to the museum for how long now?
A little over 6 months.
Wow. And so this is a bit of a splash, then, to have this big thing come in not long
Yeah, it's fun to start with this, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And was it already contracted then? Was the whole plan in place by the time you arrived?
The ball was rolling. Mm-hmm. So I picked it up and ran with it.
And where did you move here from?
I came from Reno, Nevada. I was the director of the Science Center and Planetarium at the University of Nevada, Reno, for a little over 13 years.
Anything so a very similar sort of museum, it would seem like.
Similar. This one is larger, and I've also learned that this is in some ways a very similar area, in some ways a very different area. So I love that the climate is about halfway between Reno, which is a little too dry for me, and Portland, where I went to college for a couple of years, a little too wet for me. This is exactly halfway between. It's one of the most beautiful places in the world. I love the mountains. I love the rivers. I love the lakes. I love outdoor activities. It was interesting for me to learn that the region that we serve is made up out of a bunch of very disparate communities. So Ashland is very different than Talent, which is very different than Phoenix, which is very different than Medford, which is very different than Central Point, which is very different than White City, and so on and so forth. And you know this. This is the area that you guys serve. But it's been interesting for me to think about how do we serve all of those communities without a one-size-fits-all approach.
So for yourself, though, it sounds like it's a bit of a Goldilocks kind of place where the climate is concerned anyway.
Oh, we love it here, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if people get if they think they can only go to see Wild Music at Science Works once, what is the one thing you'd say they really have to make sure they see and experience while they're there?
If you only get to see Wild Music once, I would definitely say the jam room is the high point of the exhibit.
All right, and this again is where you get so that it's not just percussion instruments and people banging on stuff. There's other components in there. Is that right?
There are microphones. There are synthesizers.
And there's also is there pre-recorded audio soundscapes
yes,
too?
Yes, okay. Exactly. So. Yep, and a mixer to mix them up or down each of the channels of pre-recorded audio.
Wow, this is fairly equipment intensive kind of display, isn't it?
It is. I think we're going to be going through mallets and headphones like crazy.
Okay, all kinds of fun. And this is open again through September 2nd at ScienceWorks Hands-On Museum in
Exactly.
Ashland. All right. Dan Ruby is the executive director at ScienceWorks. The display is called Wild Music, just opened on February 2nd, going on through September 2nd at the museum with a couple of changes coming up in the middle of the year, as you heard. Dan Ruby, thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you so much.